Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. What a patriotic week this was. It was just, didn't it feel good in the middle of the corona to feel good about America for the first time in a while? You know, just to feel good. It felt good. It just plain old felt good to watch young people, particularly young people of all stripes, intelligent. What a message. And knowing where they came from and why they're even able to be up on that stage. And to have the decency to be grateful for that. That's what America's always been. And it still is. I just came away just feeling great hope every night. Just great hope every night. I just thought it was fantastic. Just a week that we all really needed. And I know most people didn't watch. They never do. I can't stand watching the DNC. And if what you want to do is watch, you know, a miniseries or something or whatever, you're not going to watch. But some of it's going to bleed through anyway, and it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you how I felt. And to just see that, and just instead of seeing young people rioting, we see really intelligent young people that are going to be the future leaders of this country. That's great hope. Just what a great message. You know, I know it's slick. I know it's produced. I know. But boy, those were a whole bunch of really great, real people. Doesn't just give me hope for the election. It gives me hope for the country because it just shows that feeling that this generation or that generation isn't what they used to be. It's just not really true. They're pretty rock star too, aren't they? So anyway, I just thought that was fantastic. Fantastic stuff. Hey, today we've got everything is backwards, right? Normally, excuse me. Kevin and I, the recording from last week, last Monday, plays at the beginning. It's going to play at the end today. So somewhere around whatever it is, you know, 9:20 or 9:25 or something like that, then that recording will be in. So we're flipping it around today. So our number is, we're live right now, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, which it does work. I do have the technology this week. If you were thinking about or trying to email last week, we didn't have it. So we do have it this week, so feel free. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I want to touch on this week, market-wise. I've been talking about the 10 biggest mistakes in or not 10 biggest mistakes. That's another thing we've talked about before. These are my 10 investment commandments. And they are for me, as I say all the time. They're for me. These are things that I try to bear in mind. I love talking about because what happens when you talk about things? You bear them in mind, don't you? You think about it. You think, hey, you know, I just did that last week. What am I doing? You know? Ah, okay, yeah, you remember that? How you did that thing over there? It helps remind me, too. But I think that, generally speaking, most people would agree that these are things that make sense. So for what they're worth, we've been running through them periodically when we have time, and we have a little bit of time today. And this is one that really struck me, because it always strikes me. And that is this, in this world we live in, I think this is one that we really have to grab onto, think about a lot. And that's that information is not wisdom. It's not even on the same planet. It's not close. So sometimes we go through the if you will, I'm going to watch this thing over here. I'm going to go to this seminar. I'm going to go out to the free dinner thing and get some information. And it's very dangerous to get information if you don't have a context to put it in. Oh, why could it be? Why would it be dangerous? It's incredibly dangerous when you're just getting a sales pitch and you really don't know how to balance out what they're saying. You can come to believe, for example, in a very practical way, that socialism is a really good idea and is obviously will work. We just need to put it into place. And if you don't know that it's never worked anywhere, you really wouldn't question it because it sounds really good. It sounds great. And if you didn't know history, you would even further think, wow, you would know that it always leads to dictatorship. Always does. This really nice idea, nice sounding thing works the other way. So if you didn't know and you just went for some information, it'd be easy to say, oh, wow, that's just an awesome thing. When it comes to finances, it can be even trickier and worse than that. Much more deceitful. And so we have to be careful about that. And it also is an important thing when we're sitting around thinking about the market, my investments, my retirement. I heard from my friend I should be thinking about and doing this. Yeah, I just ran into this last week, and we ran into one about a month ago that was super dangerous. Well, we heard we should do a quick claim deed for grandma who's in hospice. Yeah, so we're doing that just in passing. And Tom Brown in our office, he catches it. Boom, boom, whoa, 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 whoa. What did you, hang on. If we'd have done it, if they'd have done it, not we, if they would have done it, it would have cost the family $100,000. It was huge, huge number on a not that big of an estate. All in taxes. Because some friend thought that was a great idea. Why people do this, I don't know, okay, without getting legal advice. But they do. But again, that's information from somebody. That's what they did. Made sense to them. Maybe it was right for them. Sure as heck wasn't right for these guys. And I run into this from time to time. Well, I've been checking around, getting some information, learning about, going online about. And I even think about this in this context, okay? Because every day we're faced with so much data. Data is not even information. It's just noise. But boy, there's a lot of noise. And so we have really four stages here, right? We have data. We have information, right? We have knowledge. And then hopefully, in some cases, rarely, we have wisdom. That's pretty special. That's in a place of its own. But really, what we need to understand too, and I see this all the time because I serving on boards, you see people who are vastly successful at, I don't know, make it up. They run a great business. It doesn't matter what business, but it's a super business, you know, plumbing. Run a great plumbing business. And I think one of the tricks in life is to know what we know and know what we don't know. But sometimes you'll see people running a great business or they're really smart attorneys or doctors or whatever in there, but they're pretty sure they know how to run a country club with 1,000 members. You know, the restaurant should be like this. They need to serve this. I'm always amazed, honestly, of what we think we know about. I mean, strong opinions, not asking opinions or here's some input. It's a trick, I think, because I think it's beyond our humanness, if you will, to be naturally understanding. We need to grab on to the humility of understanding, right? That is not my area. I need to carry some humility in that and ask. But anyway, we get all this data coming in. It's nothing more than data. Data, data, data. That data doesn't tell you anything about what context it has to become information and on to knowledge. So we are bombarded with a fire hose of data every day. And if somebody comes on TV and says, well, I'm just really, 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 really worried about all of these things, fill in the blank. And you don't understand a word they're talking about, you know, like the yen-euro hedge currency unwinding. I don't really know much about that. I certainly don't know how or why I would be worried about it. But some guy on TV says babble about something like that. Or inverted interest rates. How many years did you hear about that? And you don't even know what a flipping inversion is. But now you know you need to worry because what we do know is emotion. I'm really worried about this. And now we take data. We don't even know enough to call it information because it's not. Because we don't know what context it is. So we take all this and it feeds into raw emotions. And we think we know things that we really don't. It's so important for us to try to understand these legs, these stools, if you will, before acting on investments. I have a great email I'm going to talk about in a minute. It doesn't really follow totally under this, but it's the same type of thing where we kind of react to the circumstances around us. Rather than going in with hard information, great information, and perhaps wisdom. Wisdom's tough. It's a really hard movement because I think we find that rare person, that incredibly rare individual who's wise at a young age. Honestly, you know, again, this, you didn't tune in for a spiritual show. I'm just saying that somehow this is a gift that God gave to that person. It's rare. It's so rare, I wouldn't even think, oh, that's a really smart thing. A young person, they must be wise. I'm not saying that's super rare, but I'm saying it's not usually accompanied by somebody that doesn't have some wrinkles and gray hair. Because it requires a tremendous amount of patience, humility, all those things that take a long time to recognize what we don't know. It doesn't mean people don't have a lot of knowledge in their field and can be very good. But wisdom's on a different level, isn't it? Wisdom is learned. It's not usually given, not right off. And most people never learn it. They don't. They don't learn it at all. People can sound really, 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 really smart. But underneath that really, really smart veneer is not wisdom. And that's not necessarily bad. It's just kind of when we talk about it, that's what we're looking for. See, Sir John Templeton was wise. He was really smart. But he was also really wise. He had a patience and an attitude that carried him way beyond great. Just that sense about him. Very wise. Most money managers aren't. They may be really smart, but they're not wise. And it is something that's very different. Now, when we think about that, we think about our investing and how much data and information's coming at us. How much do we really know about that subject? or have we dumbed ourselves down through the laziness of the world? And what I mean by that is, how hard do people really work at understanding something? Do they work hard at it much anymore? Or do we just watch a YouTube video and we got it? Nothing wrong with that, believe me. I sat there and watched my wife put together a toilet because it had a little leaky ring. She YouTubes it and goes, well, this is what you do. What? I'm amazed. They do it at the office all the time. It's really cool. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. So I'm not putting that down. What I'm saying is, that's not plumbing. That's not knowing plumbing, okay? That's knowing an aspect or being able to follow an aspect, follow some directions. That's not knowing plumbing. Knowledge is different. And it's just something that can be very hard to get because the world has such an easy outlook, right? An easy way to grab it. Not a hard, let's get to this thing, right? Let's learn it. And when you get into a profession, and I mean vocation, profession, something that you're just passionate about, and you read about it, and you grow in it, and you do this year after year, decade after decade, is different. It's a different level of knowledge. I know it's still not wisdom, but it is really a different level of knowledge about things. We think we know so much about the world because we know a drop of it, right? We know enough to get around. We know more than most people do. That's just a fact. If you're listening to this program, you're a pretty smart person. That's just a fact. That's a statistical fact. It doesn't mean you really know anything about finance. Like, I really don't know anything about plumbing or how to run a country club. We have to know what we know, because we get into these times like today where the market seems like it's so high. It's way too high. It's way too much. And you hear it every day from the talking heads. You've heard it every day. If you stop, and here's where knowledge and wisdom come in. What have they been saying for months now? The market's too high. I can't go anywhere. Corona, corona, et cetera, et cetera. The same thing. And what did the guy before that say? The same thing. They parrot each other on top of that. So what I'm listening to is the same incorrect people parroting each other. Pretty much. I wouldn't call that great knowledge. I certainly wouldn't call it wisdom, would you? So let's contrast. What do we want to do with that kind of data? If we think of, and I think it's fair to kind of put this in this sense, right? If you think of wise people in your life, are they like quick? No, they're slow to think, contemplate. They have to weigh it out. What is the wisest course of action here? Why am I wrong is a really good question to ask yourself if you want more knowledge and wisdom. What have I been wrong about? Why am I seeing this market wrong? Not, oh, it's the Fed. They cut interest rates. I wasn't really wrong. Here's what happened. They came in and saved the day. Otherwise, I'd have been right. Man, do you ever hear that? I remember a fellow, he's been Mr. Wrong. I don't think he's around much anymore. Oh, it starts with an S. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Actually was making comments. I'll find it here. I will find it. Some comments about, you know, well, he was actually put on the spot once, finally, right? After years of being wrong. Well, you keep saying that the dollar is going to collapse, and you keep saying, and you know, his answer was, I overestimated the intelligence of the American people. Oh, yeah, that's it. You weren't wrong. Really, you just thought people were smarter than it turns out they are. That's why it didn't work out. Incredible stuff. Incredible. So we have to know what we know, right? So we got to know that. We got to know what we can know. But we move slowly. Wise people move slowly, don't they? They think about it. So when you look at the world right now, instead of sitting around saying, well, the market's too high. All right, based on what? Based on what? Why has it been too high for thousands of points and it keeps going higher? What does the market look like underneath? Are all stocks at all-time highs? Well, they're actually not. You know, but that's the kind of question you want to ask, right? You need to ask. Because you don't know. All you're doing is saying, hi, I'm really stupid. The market's too high. Let me show you how smart I'm not. Market's too high. Let me parrot what people say. Well, what components of the market are too high? What do you mean? Do you think tech stocks are too high? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Okay. Well, what about, you know, like the S&P 500? What do you mean? It has 10 different components. Are they all too high? Are there some of them that aren't? What components? What do you mean? Well, you got materials. You've got, of course, you've got utility stocks over here. You've got real estate. They're not doing well, actually, at all. They're not too high. Maybe they are too high. The market thinks they're too high because they just kind of keep going down all the time. Are you talking about leisure, transportation? Are you talking about trucking or are you talking about air? Are you talking about air freight or are you talking about passenger air? Because they're really quite different. Air freight's doing really well, as you might imagine. Does that make no sense at all? Okay, so what we're saying is we're taking what is no more than information, and we've somehow turned it into knowledge about what the market ought to be doing. Oh, you see, it's much more complex. So instead, we should say, hey, I thought that the market's too high for a long time, or I have been listening to all these people think the market's too high. But what does that mean to my portfolio? What does that mean actually overall? Does it mean I shouldn't be buying any more Apple right now because it's never sold at this high relative to its earnings? Maybe. You can make a decision on that, but you certainly can't argue that Boeing is too high relative to just being too high to its price that it was before, because it's like half of what it was. And it should be. So the market's actually acting pretty smart in my mind. And instead of just like running like this is bad, this is good, that's too simplistic. We need to have enough knowledge and wisdom to break it down to where it makes sense as to why it's doing what it's doing. Hopefully that makes sense. But what's easiest to do is just stamp it. Market's too high. Market's too low. Instead of really digging in. So knowledge is hard too, because knowledge is laziness. Lack of knowledge is laziness. We all have the ability. All the information's there, but we have to have enough passion and love about something to really want to dig in. It's not easy. There's lots of things out there that I'm only barely okay at. I could hardly conduct a conversation. Some I can't. I really don't care who's sleeping with who in Hollywood. Not that I want to have that conversation with you, but if you ask me who, I don't know. All of a sudden I'm drawing a blank on any actor, okay? Robert De Niro is married to, I don't know. I have no idea. Don't want to know. Don't care. I don't care what Robert De Niro said last night. Not at all. Don't care about any of that. You know, I don't know what the Kardashians are doing. Don't care. Very low knowledge level on that. Very, very low. Sports, I used to be really, right? You know what I'm saying? Know what you know, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you, yeah, that was the stupidest call I've ever seen. Why? Why would I think that? I mean, you know, there are some boneheaded ones. I got to agree. You know, like the Seahawks on the, you know, calling a pass play, you know, losing the Super Bowl. That was a hard one. I got to say, I'm not a Seahawks fan. But, wow, that's a weird call. But I don't think the guy made it out of vapor, and he sure knows a lot more about football than I do. And we can all poke holes at things in hindsight. Got to be careful with it. Anyway. All right. Thank you for putting up with that. I just always love to remind myself of how little I know in some areas. And we are ready to take our first break. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We're going to jump on that in just a moment. And, of course, our email, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Hey, again, just as a reminder, reversed everything around. Be here for maybe 20 minutes in the next hour because we're playing the recording from when Kevin and I were on Monday. Right now, we're here live, and we want to take your calls. It's 580-KIDO. And hold on, I need headphones and all that. Gee whiz, man. Not very smooth here, buddy. Not very smooth. All right, let's go to Terry. Terry, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor. Just love professional broadcasting.
I know. Live is awesome. It just is. It's so fun. Yep, absolutely.
Hey, I need a little knowledge and perspective from you.
Okay.
I watching the news, and they had the derecho, the Iowa windstorm with knocking the corn down and whatnot. How will corn production affect the storm affect the availability of corn? There's a requirement for corn to make ethanol to put in our fuel for gasoline, but we also eat and export a lot of corn. Who's going to make the masa? Where do we come up with the difference if there's a shortage?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. What happens, of course, is that prices go up, and then suddenly we don't want. If you can't give me 4 ears of corn or whatever, I don't even know what the price is, to be honest with you. Food relative to our earning ability is so cheap that most of the time it just doesn't matter, right? But it does matter around the edges. Look how expensive steak got, right, when they couldn't open the processing plants, right? It got so expensive that guess what? I'm having chicken. And it really does do that. So, you know, it's like they say, and it's really true, if you want less of something, tax it. If you want less of something, then raise the prices, is what that basically says.
Well, with the COVID and production down and, you know, the riots and everything else and all, there's going to be a shortage of food.
Yeah, there is.
And we export so much. Who do we export? Do we export or do we keep it at home? That's going to be the fun part.
It's going to be both. What ends up happening, you have to remember, all these supply chains are in place. For example, let's say I'm a giant rancher in, and I mean giant, it's a corporate deal, right?
Right, Morton's in Colorado.
There you go. And we have got, so what do we have? We have a processing plant on the line. It's not the processing plant that we're like going to, okay, every year. How many think we ought to go ahead and butcher this year? No, I don't know. What do you think? It's just an automatic process, right? And so we've got the supply chain all the way through. We know where we're selling our meat. It could be overseas. We've connected with some people in Japan, so we're going to do some Wagyu beef with them. We're going to do all this stuff, and it's all in line. We have deals. So now all we have to do is grow beef or grow corn, and then we plug that hole. Now, what we don't suddenly say, oh, well, we were supposed to send, we have an agreement here to send a ton of corn to these Japanese buyers. It's going, okay? What is going to get what isn't going to happen if we actually have a shortage is going to be what's left over and the excess that winds up in somebody's in the supermarket as an afterthought. That's what's going to be priced very high. It'll be the lower quality, and people won't really buy that much of it. That's what happens. It might be some overseas. It's like, well, hey, you know, it's too late. I've got this deal over here. And that's why when you have deals, you're a Costco or whatever, it's a defined source you're getting your stuff from, because you need to be able to get it ready, set up with thousands of stores in vastly faraway locations that each sell a whole lot of corn, strawberries, whatever it is. So the supply chain is really, to me, it's like, wow, I mean, it's wow. It's like watching the Army conduct a war. How do they get all the bullets and food and all that stuff? I mean, can you imagine what goes on behind the scenes for 5,000 people on an aircraft carrier? I just like, oh, you're kidding me.
And that, yeah,
so it's the supply chain.
Supply is a totally unappreciated field of endeavor, I think I heard once.
Yeah, it totally is. And yeah, and all you have to do is just, you know, lose a couple links of it and realize how incredibly hard it is to get a blueberry from Mexico to my house. It's really hard.
Yeah. Well, and one fun afterthought, I heard rumor of a meteor that's going to be here on 3 November.
I like it. I like the end of world doom and gloomers. Yeah, you know, people that cut off their testicles. This is just the weirdest thing to me as a human being observing this for the last, you know, almost 60 years now, to watch people just do the most bizarre things. It's like, how can you believe in God? But you believe in a comet, and you need to. It's just so weird. I just, all this stuff is so weird to me.
Yeah. Well,
humans are odd.
Well, yeah, that's half the entertainment factor.
Yeah, I agree. But yes, I did read about that. So you're right. I saw that. Yes. Yeah. We have a new end of world thing coming. Stay tuned. After it doesn't, stay tuned for the next one. It won't be long.
Right. Well, anyway, just thought I'd call in and get in early.
I appreciate it. Terry, have a great day. Thanks
Same
for calling.
Same to you, sir. Bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. All right, so we always talk about a little bit about COVID. Why? Because, well, who doesn't love COVID, right? Now, of course, we all hate COVID. It's here. We have to talk about the data because this isn't politics. It's not about politics. And frankly, I'm going to say it's not about your freedom. Just don't think that way. Don't think left. Don't think right. Think what is the best information possible. If it really would save lives, if it really would kill the virus, and I mean kill it, not like poke it down, up it comes, poke it down, up it comes, then maybe we should what? We should follow whatever the science is. But you see, it doesn't. You just heard on the news here at the bottom of the hour, right, that the cases are spiking in Europe. Wow, I just thought we worshipped Europe and what they did and the lockdowns, and they were just so great. Just so, so great and taught us so many lessons about it. If we could only get rid of the orange man, nobody would have died in America. Not true. Sweden is insane for doing what they did. Keeping the schools open. Whoa. Only banning large gatherings. Allowing people to live their life. And dying. Except now they're not looking so stupid. And then we walk around, we just cherry pick some weird little country. I don't know. Well, Japan. Japan's really doing it great, except their cases are spiking. So if it all was about compliance and uniformity, I'm sure that there are nations, you know, North Korea under lockdown is certainly a very compliant nation. But Japan cases are spiking. I'm not saying I have the answer that is like, don't wear a mask, do wear a mask. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to look at the data and understand the data and who needs to be protected and who doesn't. How is it that we don't hear about the massive problems of opening schools in Europe? We don't. It's like a real time experiment right here. I mean, we talk about this, and I've talked about this for several months, actually. But the only true comorbidity, if you will, that matters with COVID is age. You can be a severely overweight, diabetic, whatever, with six other problems. And if you're under 40, the chances of you dying are almost none. 2% of the population, that is people over age 85. 2% of the population is over age 85 in America. Almost a third of the deaths are in that age group. children are not remotely. I mean, suicides for children under the age of 15. Are like 100 times more prevalent than kids dying of COVID. This is why we need to talk about who protect who? The elderly. That's what we need to be working on. I don't have all the answers. I'm just saying that's the deal. Do I think we all should run into a Coliseum and shut down the air conditioning? I think there's so many things we can learn about filtering and air and all those things. Be like, oh, I would never get on an airplane. Okay. That seems really weird because last I saw the people that are like practically living on the airplanes, the pilots and the flight attendants, they're not dropping like flies. Because they're doing it different. We're learning. Anyway, data is important, not emotions about this. You know, why is the market doing well? Because we're opening up. It's looking ahead. We are opening up. You know, we're going to bend the curve for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Whatever, 6 months ago, we were going to bend the curve for 2 weeks. That's it. Then we all go back to work. It's happy days are here again. So we bent the curve. Did not overwhelm the hospitals. Strong work. Good job. Let's keep going. Let's just bury this whole thing. And they did. Hospitals are not overwhelmed anywhere. No matter what they try to find, they're just not overwhelmed. They're just not. Matter of fact, 45 states have less than 10% of their hospitalizations now are COVID. 45? That's a lot. I don't like the fact that people are still dying from this either. But the number of cases, the number of deaths, they're going down. We now have 23 vaccines. 23 in phase one trials. 23 of them. 14 in phase two. 8 in phase three. And 2 are already in limited use. Just this past week, another announcement of here's $500 billion. It looks so good. It's getting so close. Let's just make millions of vials so we're ready at the first of the year. Just in case it works. Just in case it works. You know, I don't want to share all the data because we talk about it a good deal every week, right? And it is. It's something that we need to keep our eyes on. And we do. Who doesn't, right? But we do. We have now have one more thing I want to talk about that came out this past week or so. The FDA just approved a 15-minute test on the antibodies. Oh, you know how much it costs? $5. $5, not 140, $5. We're getting there. But before we, back to my original, right, talking about knowledge, wisdom. Man, we got to get back to understanding what we know and not acting like a bunch of parroting morons. I just don't know what happened to the dialogue in our country. I really don't. I really don't understand. I don't understand the very party that was supposed to be, oh, well, we just believe in, you know, freedom of speech, except if you disagree with us. It's weird. We can't talk about it. We can't talk about, for example, a virus is a virus, man. What are you going to do about it? I mean, I don't think you should go hang out with people that have the virus. That doesn't seem wise. But the virus is kind of sort of going to go where it's going to go. Australia did a shutdown. Then they spiked again. It just goes on around the world. Oh, look what they did in Hong Kong. It's spiking again. Oh my gosh. Look what they did in Japan. See, they're just, you know, when you get everybody together, a homogenous society and blah, 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 it's amazing. You can do anything against it. Oh, they're spiking again. Well, look about this tiny island over here, or this country over there. We just need to follow and do what they Oh, no, it didn't work everywhere. Oh, no. It's a virus. I don't know. It just kind of goes where it's going to go. And it is. And the good news is we're learning how to treat it, so the mortality rate is going down a lot. A whole lot. And that's good. I just have this sense with it, though, and I don't know if you do. I have this sense that the dialogue is changing. That some of the data that I'm talking about is getting out now. You know, you actually have people that think maybe I'm making up this stuff. Why? Because it doesn't fit their political narrative. Or maybe something that I mention fits the political narrative, and that's all they want to run with. You know, it's viruses go where they go. We haven't figured out how to stop them. Not yet. And I know the angry orange guy needs to be destroyed. But really, the only thing that government can do, that people can do, is get out of the way where they're in the way. Like the FDA for testing. What can we do? And when they're what they can do is they can collaborate. They can buy supplies. They can encourage it in a capitalist world. More spending, more innovation. They can get the attorneys out of the way so that when people are trying things, they're not afraid. Then they're not sued out of business. That's all we can do. Joe's going to shut us down. That's just flipping brilliant. Actually, it is brilliant. If you were in my opinion, if you were a Republican political consultant, you just couldn't ask Joe Biden to do anything better than that. What would you do, Joe? Well, if the scientist said, I'd shut her down. Okay, but what about the scientists that don't think you should shut it down? Well, we'd ignore them. I know which scientists are right and which ones are wrong. I know what works and what doesn't work. And besides, I am not capable of being president. I don't have my own ideas. This is just craziness, this idea that we can stop a virus. And when we take and look at the market, isn't that what the market is telling you? Day in and day out, that we are learning to live with this? Even if in New York or California or wherever else they want to tell you that a chicken wing isn't a meal, but, you know, hey, yeah, but a chicken leg is? All right. We got it. I understand fully what a meal is now. Now, would you tell me what a drink is? Because I need all the help I can get from the government. You guys are just so smarter, so much smarter than us restaurateurs. We need your help. Just take over everything, and I'll just not have to think at all. And it is an astounding thing when you let the camel in the tent. It's just astounding. Good luck getting it out. These folks can't even back off of what is a meal and what's not a meal. What's next? But you look at it, and in spite of that kind of overlord, regulations, clamp it down, kill them all, we're seeing people travel. TSA numbers are up. Gasoline is up. Miles driven up. We see it. You see it at cars on the road. People are going to restaurants. Yep, socially distancing, yada, yada. People are going over to their neighbors' houses. People are gathering. They are. Money's being spent. The economy is coming back. Not back to where it was. That'll take a couple of years at least. But it's coming back, and that's what the market tells you. Instead of living in this world of anger and constant negative noise out there, that's what people are getting beat down with. So you watch it, you say, it's never going to get better. It can't get better. It won't get better. Market's too high. Don't you understand? I understand. But what's the market telling you? Two things. The economy's getting better. It's getting better. Slowly. It's looking forward to a better time. Number one. Number two. This election's not a foregone conclusion at all. Sleepy Joe is not in. The Senate is not the Democrats. Not yet. It's a hard fight, but it is not over. It's not over by a long shot. That's why the pundits, those with such knowledge, have been so negative since COVID hit. And they stay that way. Remember, it's always harder to change your opinion than it is to keep hanging on and making excuses as to why we're wrong. All right, you hear the music. We're out of here for Fox News. We'll be back after Fox News, top of the hour. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And once again, these are my opinions and my opinions only. Nobody else's. And we're not here to help you buy, 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 and sell, 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 and tell you what to do, and bounce off the walls, and pretend we're entertaining you, and giving you information and stuff when it's not. It's not. And we're here to grow together. And I mean this, and I say this a lot. I just thank you for the privilege of doing this. It's amazing. It's amazing to be able to do this. It really is. It really has helped shape my life in amazing ways to spend time with everybody on weekends and with Kevin during the week. As a matter of fact, next week, Kevin will be taking some much-needed time, and I will be doing the program on Wednesday. So hopefully you'll tune in on Wednesday. 3 hours. Can you imagine doing that 3 hours a day? 3 hours a day. Every day. Kevin works hard off air, obviously, to come up with stuff all day long. Anyway, I hope you'll tune in and love to hear your thoughts as well during that time. But anyway, so we get so much noise, right? We talked about that in the first hour. So much noise, and it's dumbing us down. I mean, you think about this with the pandemic. I do all the time. And it's just one thing. It's not even possible 6 months into a pandemic with all the information there is in the world that people are this stupid about the pandemic, that the data isn't clear. It doesn't tell us exactly what's going to be right because it's a virus. But it does tell us who the vulnerable are, and yet when in polling data, 6 months into a pandemic, 6 months. This is not the Stone Ages. They didn't have to cart stones across the country to tell us there was a pandemic. Millions of bits of information about this globally. And the average person goes, yeah, I think 10% of the deaths are from children. No, they're not. It's like a 0.001. It's not even close. They're off by a magnitude of hundreds of percent. hundreds of percent. I don't mean to get so wound up, but it's just, it's irritating. How are we possibly going to have a dialogue when people are this stupid? Okay, well, you know what? People aren't this stupid. They really aren't. It's that corrupt. It's just really that corrupt. But we're being dumbed down by seriously biased news. Oh, well, that's on the left and that's on the right, so that's just totally acceptable. No, it's not. It's not acceptable at all. It's just like, well, I'm a journalist. No, you're not. You're a pinhead. You don't even take any kind of information and pretend that you're actually trying to get knowledgeable about it and deliver some actual unbiased information that we can go, wow, I think I understand better what's going on in the world. You don't want that. You don't want that at all. It's Pravda. You grew up and you go, can you believe that? I mean, like, who in Russia would even read the newspaper? It's just propaganda. It's so stupid. Apparently, that's a different era, because give me the New York Times.
Well, I mean, you know, the New York Times. Seriously, a serious newspaper.
No, it's not. It's just packed with DNC news. That's all it is. That's all it is. I don't even have any idea why I would waste time on that. None. None. What's the point? It's the same thing within the markets. Why are you going to waste time listening to an annuity pimp at a dinner seminar? They're just pitching something at you. Do you have the knowledge base? Do you have wisdom to be able to discern what's right and wrong? Well, I'm just getting a free dinner. No, buy your own dinner. Just like grandma knows. And she doesn't know anything. No such thing as a free lunch. There is not. We've been being dumbed down. Dumb, dumb, dumber all the time. We have to stop and watch those inputs. Learn from that. What are we taking in to form our opinions? What are we doing? What are we doing? You know, it really is astounding when you think about it. It really is. All right. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We got about 10 minutes left in today's program. Seriously, we've reversed everything around. Kevin's and my recording from Monday is going to be on the back end. Yes, it's golf day for me, and I've got to hustle off. I mean, like, bolt out the door. So we've reversed things around today, okay? So, and if you have a quick email, shoot it over, dave@petzofinancial.net. And also real quickly, you know, if you miss something in the first hour, you want to catch it or whatever, we have podcasts at petzofinancial.com. Okay? All right. Dave, I'll tell you what, these things come in so tiny. I can't, my eyes, do you ever go through those phases, right, where like all of a sudden you feel like, wow, I just like got a little more blind. I mean, it's just like, boom. You know, like my eyes are just not as good as they were seemingly like last week, right? I'm going through one of those right now. I swear I am. So I'm just like, I have to squint a little harder on this. But Dave, the market is overbought now, so it's flying high. As a semi-retired person, I'm not comfortable with that, and I need some other ideas instead of all stocks for my 401k. If I sell some stock, is there anywhere to park some bucks in case we get another buying opportunity and after things get really crazy, okay? Thank you. Love your show, and I've been listening for years. Roy, thank you very much, and a great question. If you were listening the first hour, you know I talked a little bit about some of these things. But it's a great question. As we enter into retirement, you have to think of it differently, okay? So I'm not exactly sure you're semi-retired, if you're about ready to go, but let me just give you a case here in the past couple of weeks. Somebody had rolled their retirement earlier, right? Now we know where we're tracking, we've been in, you know, been working together for a long time, and now they're kind of tracking into, right, this new paradigm. And then suddenly it came forward. Nope. It's going to happen in September. So this is like, okay. Now, we've been tracking. It's not like we haven't been planning for the retirement next year. But it's not like September's different. Well, the market's made this tremendous recovery, so we're now like clipping off a few things, building up the reserve. So that's really what we're saying is now we're moving the model from more of a growth in income to an income oriented. Okay. And that's what you need to be thinking of. Rather than worrying about or timing the market, have enough cash set aside so that if you have some like partial retirement, does that mean you take a little bit out every year? I have more questions to follow up on that, Roy, but right, to get it really dialed in. But what I want to steer away from is this idea that the market is going to, on cue, have a correction. And then on cue, you're going to know where to get back in. Because we just had, from the greatest economy the world has ever seen, literally, the biggest drop-off the world has ever seen, to the fastest recovery ever seen. The stock market went down in the fastest bear market, like, bomb, bomb. We've never seen it. Like, from the high, down 20%, that fast. Okay? Just, boom, gone. And in 126 days, it's back to all-time highs. That was the fastest recovery. So, did you trade that? No, nobody did. Nobody traded that. They didn't. And you can't. So don't try. It's too tricky. So what you want to do is we want to, again, this is not all or none, and I didn't take that from your email either, that you're talking about all. So what I would do, I'd be transitioning, especially if you need income. I would be making sure that you had some powder dry to spend while investments were temporarily in decline. Because if you're so certain the market was going to fall, you would have been so certain a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, right? And missed it. So we want to transition. Think small. Keep adding. If the market keeps going up, you can keep trimming and become more and more conservative. Now, to your real point, what do I put it in? I know. Well, you tell me. You want to know why stocks are up? Let's look at this as a big picture. The big picture. The really big picture. You ready? Where else can you put money? Are you going to put it in real estate? Really? Really? Right, because everybody's going to go back to work just the way it was before. They're not going to think about downsizing in 5 years when they have four floors of a big downtown Chicago building full of attorneys, and it's like, we found that these guys can do most of their work from at home. Wonder if we should restructure that upon the next lease. Right? Real estate's kind of in many ways, some things. Maybe you get data centers. I get all that. Okay? But it's changing. And it's not liquid, so there's not a lot of that. They just don't do that. All right, bonds. Really? $15 trillion around the world in negative real interest rates. Yeah, here's my money. I'm going to pay you to keep it. Yeah, try that with a needing to make 7% as a pension manager for the state of fill in the blank. Yeah, that's your strategy. Okay. Cash, no return. Cash, bonds, fixed investments, earning zero, even negative. Inflation may be tapping on the door. That's why money's going to find its way in. That's the real big picture. It's got to go somewhere. Got to go somewhere. It can have temporary declines. So what do we do in the meantime? Here's what I think. I still think it's going to be most all stocks. But I do think that some REITs, real estate investment trusts, they trade as stocks on the exchange, are looking very attractive and have some nice yields. And maybe are so beaten up, down 50% and more in some cases. And I would steer away from hotels. You don't need to be playing around with things that can go bankrupt with your safe money. But I think you get some nice yields there. And maybe they've already taken their beating, right? So I do think that within the market, there's other aspects that aren't anywhere near as scary. Now, I also want to say this, and I don't know if this is in your retirement account or not, okay? But boy, do municipal bonds look attractive on the fixed side compared to anything else in the bond world. They just look attractive if you're in a high tax bracket. And there are some really attractive things out there with closed-end bond funds. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but closed-end municipal bond funds are just looking ridiculously attractive. Yields are very, very high relative to anything else in fixed income world, and they're certainly not stocks. So if you're looking for an outside idea, I'd look at those two areas specifically for some yield that really, although on REITs and also in the case of municipal bonds, you can see markets move together over short periods of time if there's great stress. But I don't think that's what you're looking at. If you are, then you can't invest in anything. I don't know what to tell you today. What to go do. Go earn zero on cash. Just stack it up and then spend the money and or lose a little bit to inflation every year. If you can't take price movement a little bit. Okay? So I would look at those couple of areas. It's a very good question, though. And I don't mind if you're planning into retirement, you're moving into retirement, markets at all-time highs. You trim. You don't sell all and go away. You let things mature. You let dividends come out and pile up. You don't chase the hot stocks. You just keep letting cash build up because you're going to need it. Not because you're a great market timer. You're going to need it. Having some cash available, bullets, ammunition, dry powder, however you want to phrase it, especially when you need it. So great question. Thank you so much for your question. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening for all these years. It's heartening. It really is. It really is. All right, I've got just a couple more minutes. And I want to talk about this. Apple hits $2 trillion. For the last trillion, trillion and a half, trillion and three quarters. Multiple times. I mean dozens of times in the last 10 years has been the time to get out of Apple. I'm a tech expert, and the iPhone 4 isn't anywhere near as good as the 3, and the 5 is just pathetic. It's horrible. There's no way. This is a hardware company. It's not a software company. It deserves to sell for 5 times earnings. This is ridiculous. They're selling at 12 times earnings. And I don't care if they have $150 billion of cash. What are they going to do with it? That's what matters to me. I don't think this can be owned. Over and over and over and over. Every iteration of that. Too much competition. They charge too much. $1,000 for a phone. Laughable. Who would do that? It's crazy. Crazy people only. What are you going to do when the phone companies, the cell companies stop giving them away? Nobody's going to pay that much for them. Here we are. Google. Apple. Facebook. You don't even make any money on Facebook. What are you talking about? Is it blah, 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 blah. Buying and owning the great corporations of the world is the only thing to do. Keep them. Own them. Trim them when they become so big. But buy, 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 sell, sell, sell is not the way to wealth. Never has been. All right, you all. Thanks for tuning in. Shoot us your questions, comments to petsofinancial.com. And I do hope you have a great weekend. I hope you will join me on Wednesday morning when I host Kevin's program. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope, again, you have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in.